Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy all, Glenn the Geek on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 16th, 2011, episode 98, sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what? It's Wednesday.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
We have a show on Wednesday.
It's true.
It's time to go out to the barn. Let him out and work my arm. It's kind of like a meditation. Sort of like yoga, my religion. I get in a trance-like state as I pitch and as I race. The smell of manure and sweet grass hay. What a beautiful way to start your day. I'm 5 foot, but I never feel as tall as when I'm cleaning stalls.
Hey, Jamie, I got to tell you, we were sitting around last night, we were watching TV, and we absolutely love Craig Ferguson's show. We love Craig Ferguson. He's funny as heck. He's probably the only late-night guy we watch on a regular basis because we always TiVo, and we don't stay up that late because we got this little morning show thing to do. So last night, we're watching Craig, and we're sitting there, and his first guest came on. And I said to Jennifer, it's Jamie. Watch her mannerisms, look at her look, her hair, and I just kept saying, it's Jamie. And then the longer the interview went, we kept going, you're right, it's Jamie. You have a celebrity double, my friend. You have a celebrity double.
See, you say that. I want to know who it is. There's one or two people that people every once in a while tell me I look like, but it's kind of like the most... It just never makes any sense to me. So I'm curious to see who you celebrity double.
Who are the people that you've been told in the past?
Hilary Swank, which I don't get it. And then, of course, my favorite show, The Office. They did, like, an entire episode on Is Hilary Swank Hot? And half the office said no. And I was like, oh. Hey, if I look like Hilary Swank, they think I'm not hot. And then Jennifer, this is a total stretch. And please, do not think I think that I look like this person at all. But every once in a while, somebody will tell me I resemble Jennifer Garner.
Okay. I could sort of see that a little bit, but that's not even close to our pick. And then I went online today, because this is not a very well-known actress. I don't think she's very well-known. She's been in a lot of, she's been in a lot of movies and stuff, but there have been movies that are kind of, So, but she was funny as heck last night on the show, and what's even cooler, I'm holding you in suspense here. What's even cooler is I found the segment on YouTube from the show.
Oh, no way.
So I'm going to post it up there for everybody to watch. And if you want to know what Jamie's like in real life and what, kind of looks and mannerisms and everything, this is it. And, so the name of the celebrity that you are duplicated with or could be your sister is Amanda Peet. Do you know that
Amanda
at all?
Amanda Peet.
P-E-E-P-E-E-T, Pete.
Amanda Pete. I know that sounds familiar, but post it so I can watch it right now. I want to see it.
I'm going to post it. And I'm telling you, you have to watch it with the sound on, because this girl, it just, you know, Jennifer will attest to this. We were sitting there going, that's Jamie. I mean, it just, everything about it was you.
Is this the same girl that was in that Bruce Willis movie? And
she
goes to the window and she shows her boobs. Dude, if I look like her, that's awesome. Because, whoa, she's really pretty. She has great boobs, and I don't. So that's awesome.
Yeah, she was naked in one scene in that movie. I forget what the name of the movie was, but I remember that she was naked in the scene of the movie.
It was Chandler from Friends, and then she was like the, you know, infatuated with the guy that she shot the guns and stuff. And anyway, it was kind of a movie. But if I look like Amanda Peet, that's awesome. I'll take that.
I'm telling you, it was bizarre. We were kind of freaked out last night watching this.
Really?
So I'm posting it right. Yes. You're probably going to watch it and think, I don't have anything in common with that girl. What the hell are they talking about? Now, however, there's something else that I have to bring up this morning about you. So I noticed yesterday, Craig Ferguson has this thing he does at the end. By the way, if you don't watch the Craig Ferguson show and you like comedy, you have to start taping this show. It's a late, late show on CBS. And start taping it because he's hilarious. But he does a segment at the, and it doesn't matter whether it's an A-list guest or a B-list guest. It doesn't matter who it is. He does a segment before he goes to commercial with the guests where he gets a harmonica out, and he plays harmonica with them, and, of course, none of them can play. If they can play, he gives them a golden harmonica, and it's like a very fancy, expensive harmonica. And occasionally, I think he's given away three or four where we were actually shocked that the people could play. And then on your Facebook page yesterday, I'm going to throw you under the bus now, you posted, or a friend of yours posted a picture of you in a previous life. Would you like to explain that little picture that was posted of you in a previous life? I'd be interested to know, because you've been holding out on us, girlfriend.
Well, let's see, and I'll tell you why I held out, because of what you're going to do as soon as I tell you this story. And I, in a previous life, fancied myself a little bit of a, I wouldn't say a rock star. I was more of like a little folk singer. And my friend Lindsay Rakers and I, who she is actually like a real singer-songwriter, we would play out together at bars and coffee houses in Atlanta and gig together. That's what we did. So I played guitar and harmonica and sang, and then she played, then I would do some songs, and she would do some songs, we'd do some songs together. We even did the T-Mobile Christmas party in Atlanta, where we learned a whole bunch of Christmas songs and played at the T-Mobile Christmas party. Now, I would like to point out that we were a colossal disappointment for the T-Mobile people, because they were like, seriously, these two chicks singing Christmas songs, this is our entertainment? When the building next door, seriously, the building next door that was rented out, these were all like little rented out party places, they had Hootie and the Blowfish. So it was like the worst night of my life. Like all these T-Mobile people are like looking out the window just trying to go see if they can see Hootie and the Blowfish. And there's like me and Lindsay. I was like the cheapest Christmas party entertainment they could hire.
Well,
so that's
the reason I brought that up is because in the picture, you are playing a guitar, and what do you have around your neck?
I have a harmonica, because I played harmonica too. And the reason I never told you is because you're about to say, well, go play harmonica. I'm not a monkey. You can't just tell me what to do.
All right, now, if I remember correctly, the last challenge we had for you, you totally blew it. You didn't even accomplish it. You got a picture, but no interview. If I remember correctly, you just totally were very disappointing in that. And so I am going to give you a chance to redeem yourself here today.
No, I don't want to play.
Now, I know damn well that somewhere around that house there's a harmonica. You couldn't have played the harmonica before and not have a harmonica laying around the house someplace. So your challenge for tomorrow morning is, you know how in the beginning of the show, we say, blah, blah, blah. Horse Radio Network, award-winning Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. We forgot that again today. Episode, blah, 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 sponsored by blah, 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 blah. And then there's a little bit of music we play. Well, I don't have Thursday music really yet. So tomorrow morning, maybe we could have you play the harmonica right after.
See, this is why I never told you. This is why it was kept a secret, and Lindsay had to go and post a picture on my Facebook page. I don't know if I could do that. Hey, we got a caller.
No, I think you can. I really do. See, it's that whole paycheck thing. I hate to keep bringing that up, but, you know, it's that whole paycheck, getting paid thing. Just thought I'd bring that up again. Just wanted to mention it. Harmonica tomorrow morning after you say, good morning, horse world, and then we're going to hear dee-dee-dee-dee-dee on harmonica.
You're not. I haven't played the harmonica in 10 years, and you're going to make me just bust it out tomorrow? How about, like, at least give me a week to practice?
It gives you a day to practice. It gives you a day. You have a whole day.
You know how hard it is to practice a harmonica? Your lips get all swelled up. I'll be like, okay, Glenn, I've got to play because I've been practicing the harmonica all day long.
That'll even be better. I love that even more. You're convincing me even more that you got to play the harmonica tomorrow. Okay, I will do you a favor. And believe me, you will be reminded by myself and our fans that by Monday morning, we'll be hearing harmonica. You told me yesterday you hate the Monday morning intro anyway that I put together.
Yeah, it's an alarm.
Okay, well, Monday morning we all get to wake up with the sound of harmonious harmonica sounds from Arizona. Monday morning on the show, everybody, tune in for Jamie with her harmonica debut. Here we go.
Sucks.
I love it.
This sucks. This is horrible. This is not fair. What are you going to do one day to embarrass yourself, my friend?
Jamie, I do it every day. I talk. And that, I embarrass myself every day. By the way, Jackie says you were referring to The Whole Nine Yards with Bruce Willis. And she's right. That's the movie we were talking about.
Thank you,
Amanda Pete, your sister. You didn't know you had a celebrity sister, did you?
I didn't. I wish I could make some money like she does, okay, besides having to play the stupid harmonica on the stupid show to get my stupid paycheck.
And now we do have a caller on the line who's not stupid at all. Yeah, but I wasn't ready yet. I can't. There she is. Hey, Tammy. Good morning. This is Tammy from the Western Radio Show. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. I want to get back to this harmonica thing because I've been listening. And I really would have made her do it tomorrow. Because I'd like to listen to that.
Tammy? I like Tammy.
Tammy, you hush. this is not your business. Just we let you be on the show. We took your call. I thought you were going to help me out. Sisters have to stay together. Women have to stick together. And here you go, siding with the man.
Well, I just think that's – I can just visualize that whole fat lip thing, and I think that's hilarious.
Great. Thanks.
She's on my side.
You guys are awesome. You
see,
guys are
Tammy
awesome.
Already also gets paid by us. So, see, she knows, though. She knows. But now, Tammy – see, the other thing I know about Tammy is she has been taking guitar lessons and actually knows how to play a couple songs. So maybe we could have Tammy come on Monday morning with you and do a duet.
Tammy's not up that early.
You're up now.
Tammy's only up this early because she has spring break writing students coming to the barn in half an hour.
We have something that we need to discuss with Tammy. This is a very serious discussion we need to have. Do you know what I'm talking about there, Jamie?
No.
Did you see the picture that Tammy posted on her Facebook page the other day of her horse, the Western shooting horse, the championship, world championship, multiple time Western shooting horse, wearing a what, Tammy?
Oh, did you see one of my posts from my friend said, oh, my gosh, Tammy, you look naked. It was a Isabel dressage saddle. And you know what, Glenn? I had a student come out, and they wanted to go over some obstacles and do some training with their horse, you know. So then some jumps here at the ranch all covered up in grass, and I went and got the tractor, and I dug all those jump wings out and all the poles, and I carted them all to my arena. I have, like, jumps set up in there now. I'm just – one of my students comes out yesterday, and he said, oh, do you give 100 jumper lessons? No, I was thinking of putting balloons at each side of the jumps and shooting while I was jumping over.
I was thinking that could be a new class. How fun would that be?
Kind of like a agility marksmanship thing.
There you go.
We're
I
on to something.
I think you should go with that,
Tammy. Yeah, we need a theme song. That harmonica can come back.
Tammy, I just got to say that, you know, you are the kind of woman that women like me are a little scared of. And because you are like the tough kind of woman, and I am like the big sensitive baby. So when you come on the line and you start telling me that you bought the exact same kind of dressage saddle that I have, by the way, the Isabel Wintec saddle.
Oh, do you have that kind of saddle?
It's the exact same
saddle.
How
do you do that bottom cinch?
Okay, first of all, it is nowhere near called the bottom cinch.
That extra one that comes down that sucks the flaps down, you know?
I know exactly what you're talking about, and that goes over the other cinch, okay? You put the first cinch on, and then that cinch, which we call a girth, get it right, has a little flap on it that you feed that through. And then, so that's called the overgirth.
I'm dying here.
So anyway, I'll work on it with you.
You know,
I'll work
I
on it with you.
It.
Well, see, your leg is kept so tight. Those flaps ride up if you're really holding on with your entire leg. So that's why they have that, to keep the flaps from riding upwards, because you're squeezing so much and you're bouncing. It's a really comfortable thing. But the fact that you're talking about your dressage saddle and your jumps in your arena makes me feel like we're almost closer friends now, because I'm not as scared of you anymore.
And you know what? You know, I am afraid. I tell you some of the things I'm afraid of, because someone asked me the other day, what do you wish kind of people knew about you? And I said, I'm probably not the girl on the website. I'm scared of strange dogs. I'm scared of the dark. I'm scared of elevators. I'm scared of those things at the airport that make you move along when you're walking, you know, with those things.
Yeah, I hate those too.
Yeah,
okay,
I think they're going to eat me.
But see, everything you just said is like me. We're like exactly the same, except for the fact that you took the initiative to learn to shoot at it. Okay, so I'm feeling closer to you. I'll teach you how to use the little cinchy thing on your dressage saddle, and we'll work on it, and we'll be best friends forever.
Be
I love it. I'm so excited.
I need help with my cinchy thing, because I wasn't sure about that. I'm like, I'm sure this is not like the back cinch of a Western saddle that's going to hang, because I think this has a higher purpose than that.
See, I don't understand what that thing's for. Is that so your Western saddle doesn't tip forward when you stop?
That's because we go so fast and we turn so fast, we need a little more security in our saddle.
But you have that thing loose. All it does is serve the, like, to me, that looks like a bucking strap. Like, if I tighten the sucker up.
It can be.
Okay, nice. Good stuff. Good times. Well, let me just tell you that I'm feeling a lot closer to you now that I know that you have jumps in your arena and you're wearing a dressage saddle and you're afraid of the dark and you don't like strange dogs running up to you because it could bite you. And then definitely the walkways. I don't mind the walkways. It's the getting off part that's a little scary, because it's
getting off scares me.
The ground stops.
Yes. And I hate flying. I'm okay when the plane's going along, but I don't like it getting up there, and I don't like it coming down. I want the window seat, and I want control of the blind, because I'm going to shut it when I feel nervous, and I'm going to eat candy the whole way down. So,
all right, this is good. This is good.
Yeah,
I'm feeling better.
Jamie, I had a nickname for her since the day we met, Tammy. I've had a nickname for her as the most dangerous woman on horseback. I'm starting to change that a little bit with all these phobias and fears that she has.
Oh, that just makes me more dangerous because I'm apt to shoot quicker, Glenn.
Hey, Tammy, I wanted to say this week I just edited and we put out your Western radio show last night. By the way, I love the radio Western radio show. You guys were talking to the people.
Let me tell you, Glenn. Ever since you blooped that line of us, hi, this is Alan Moorhead, and I'm Tammy Strong. We're the Western radio show. Okay, that line used to be the easiest line in the show notes, and now ever since you blooped us, we laugh every single time. It takes us about 5 times to get that line. Thanks. Every time I see that line, I think of you, Glenn, and I was like, oh, damn it, I can't get through this. I just got to laugh.
Well, I will tell you, Tammy and Jamie, that there will be no bloopers from the Western radio show. They had about 5 minutes of bloopers trying to get through that line in this week's show, but they swore so much through it, I couldn't put it in the blooper reel.
That will be the morning show. It's going to be like the late show for y'all.
Yeah. But I can
Jamie.
They had the whole show was on the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which we talked about yesterday. Remember that painting went for $205,000?
There were
some amazing statistics in there, and the most amazing was their revenue for this 20-day show, their revenue is $90 million.
Yeah. Yep.
We are doing something wrong on the English side, people.
Come join us. No, I didn't know all the scholarships they've done. I didn't know all the things they've done, for the community. And, when I really got off that show, I was probably, more confused. I thought it was just a rodeo, but you realize everything they do for the community and everything they do for the kids in the area. It was amazing.
Yeah, they give out something like $561,000 scholarships to kids to go to college. It's amazing. The numbers are just staggering. Yeah, it's just staggering. That was a very good show, Tammy. That's actually out right now on the Western Radio Show. And I wanted to mention, too, we're going to have a song a little bit later on from a new person that we haven't done here on the morning show. But you had Monty Hawkeye Henson on the episode 43 of the Western Radio Show. We're going to play one of his songs. He's a classic, isn't he?
He was hilarious. He was so funny and so personable and just, he was such a character. I really enjoyed talking to him. And I mean, he had my attention from the beginning. It was a great show, and he was a really, really great guest to have on the show. So...
Well,
yep.
Tammy, we thank you for calling so we could pick on you this morning. We appreciate that. And Jamie thanks you because it got me off of the harmonica deal. So,
I may have to get up Monday and listen to that because that's going to be pretty funny. Can you repost on Facebook so I don't have to get up early?
You're going to get up early because you're going to be joining me with your guitar up at
my
6 a.m.
I can actually get through some songs now. I can play Amazing Grace, Rugged Cross. Some Toby Keith stuff.
All right.
Your
musical episode on Horses in the Morning this month will be Jamie and Tammy.
Wow. We're going to practice them together. Cool. Yeah. We can Skype later, Jamie.
Awesome.
Tammy, we'll see you.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye, Tammy.
Well, I guess we better go to Jennifer, who hasn't had a chance to even tell us what's on the show today.
On the show today, Tammy. Oh, no. On today's show, we are heading to camp, adventure camp, that is, and we're going to be talking to Lori Walker over there in beautiful North Carolina about her unique take on camp for kids and ponies. And, of course, it's Horse Health Report Day with Christy from thehorse.com, and we're going to be talking about some interesting stuff. I don't know that I can even say what they're doing. Let me see if I can get this right. Equitarian, is that what it is? Equitarian missions, which is all about helping horses who still work for a living in countries where horses and donkeys and mules are still used for transportation and things like that. And stay tuned because you're going to find out whether or not Glenn gets to eat lunch today.
I love it. Hey, you guys,
well,
Jay, I just want to let...
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have something? But I'm just going to say, I wanted to let you guys know just a little bit about an update on how you can help out with Japan. Yesterday, we gave you the idea that you can go on and you can post... I'm looking for it here on the page because I haven't posted it yet. I got to go, okay, to the home. You can go on, and yesterday we told you to text Red Cross to 90999, and that would automatically donate $10 to the Red Cross on your phone bill. Now, Glenn, did you get the confirmation email yesterday?
Yes, I did. Yep, I got mine. Yep.
Yeah, confirmation
text. You have to respond to it, I guess. It's kind of a neat system they have.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But now we can go on and we can help Japan. And it's 5 ways to help the animals in Japan. Did you post it on the bottom of our show page there?
Yes, I did. And I also just posted it on Facebook so people can read the article too.
Okay, cool. So there's 5 ways that you can go on and help the animals in Japan. And you didn't know, you just posted a link there, so now I got to open it up because my computer's going really slow. Here we are. Okay, donate to the Japan Earthquake Animal Rescue and Support Group. And there's going to be a link up on our Facebook page right now, and you can do that. And the pictures that they show, does that picture not just break your heart? It is a picture of a man pulling a cat out of garbage, you know. I mean, it's just amazing. The pictures are worth the view. There's an animal refuge, Kansai, and they have prepared, they're taking donations for funds for their shelter. They're preparing for it, like a huge amount of animal from disaster areas. And the photos associated with that one is that like a mudslide almost? And they're pulling a golden retriever out of this mudslide. So the animal rescue work is getting done, and they definitely do need the help. They've also got a link to the Animal Miracle Foundation and Network, and what they're doing is different. They're actually collecting your old cell phones. They want to make sure that they do have batteries that work, but you send it to an address in Oregon, and they will send your cell phones over. I guess the volunteers are having a hard time communicating with each other when they're out looking for the animals. So you can send any old cell phones to the Animal Miracle Foundation and Network. The Search Dog Foundation is deploying canine disaster rescue teams. You can help on their website. It's also listed. And then join the Japan Earthquake Animal Rescue and Support Facebook page for up-to-date information on how to help them. And the picture that they've got right there just about kill you, with the little kitten standing in front of the backdrop of, like, decimation, and he's just meowing his little heart out. So everybody, please go on there and see, you know, basically see what you can do and do what you can. That's all we ask. And thanks for letting me go over that, Glenn.
You're welcome, and I think that's a worthy thing for sure, because the news certainly isn't getting any better out of Japan. Well,
no.
Jamie, I wanted to mention, too, that a little closer to home, the War Horse, remember the play, the War Horse with the puppets and everything that we've talked about before and has been on stage in London for a long time, actually started yesterday, the National Theatre production of War Horse, galloped onto the stage at Lincoln Center Theatre, at the Vivian Beaumont Theater, March 15th, and it'll officially open, this sort of a soft opening, and the official opening will be on April the 14th. I'm looking for the first reviews. I'll be keeping an eye out for those today in New York, and we'll go over some of those tomorrow to see what the reviews were like for War Horse, but some of the pictures look very dramatic and very cool. So that's coming out now. Yeah, and on a really neat note, and we're going to be coming up to our first guest here shortly, but I also wanted to say that later on, we didn't have time in this segment because Tammy called and just took all our time. I really want to hear why there was blood all over your bathroom last night. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. but
my
five
poor
ways
husband.
You can help, your poor husband. The Air Force yesterday, and I didn't know this. Did you know that the Air Force still had working military horses at one base?
I did not. I knew they have. I mean, I know they have dogs. They have a lot. They have a huge dog place here at Luke Air Force Base where I'm at. But I did not know that they still had horses working.
Yes, they do, and it's at the Vandenberg Air Force Base out there in California, and they actually use them for conducting patrols and search and rescue and crowd control and surveillance and things. They use them on their base, and the base is actually 99,000 acres, and the terrain is very remote, and it's along the ocean there, so it gets sandy in places, and it's remote, and it's, you know, they can use the horses to go places they can't go, even with their Hummers and stuff. So that's why they use the horses. Well, they had a huge ceremony yesterday for two of the horses that they're retiring. Judge, a 27-year-old quarter horse, recorded 20 years serving at the Air Force Base.
Wow.
First was at Howard Air Force Base in Panama. And Willie, an 18-year-old Arabian, logged 14 years of active duty service after being acquired from a ranch in Northern California. They had this whole military ceremony. Part of the ceremony was they came in to the ceremony with all the little, you know, all the military lined up saluting and everything, and they had their saddles on. And part of the ceremony, they played music and took their saddles off, and then they walked them through a receiving line. And there's pictures of that. It was really cool. But I want to tell you, Judge, the 27-year-old quarter horse, served the Air Force for 20 years, Willie for 18 years, 14 years on active duty. They patrolled 12,000 miles of the jungle in Panama at the base down there, and they helped capture 100 trespassers at the base down there. They patrolled at Vandenberg. Both patrolled around the launch sites. At Vandenberg, they launched the missiles that carry satellites up, and they would patrol around there to make sure the area was clear and there were no humans, because Greenpeace would come in occasionally. And they actually caught several Greenpeace activists trying to get near the launch pads. So they were really, you know, put to good use. And the other way they used the horses out there is they familiarized the Navy SEALs with horseback riding tactics and rugged terrain to help them out when they get to Afghanistan. And I know Jennifer's brother was a Green Beret, and one of the things he had to do at times was the only way you could get through the mountains was riding horses. So your special forces need to know how to ride horses through some interesting terrain. So what a great story, huh?
That chokes me up a little bit because, you know, you think of the Air Force and the side of the Air Force that I see with my husband being in it is, you know, it's a very proper and, I mean, it is not an animal-friendly environment, typically, you would think. I mean, aside from having the working dogs that, you know, will kill you if they mention, you know, say, you know, blue pencil, they'll just come after you, whatever that key word is. But the fact that they had horses and the fact that there's actually a retirement ceremony that they perform for these horses. I've been to a couple other retirement ceremonies, and it that's enough to make you cry. But when they remove the saddle from a horse and they, you know, send it through a receiving line, just like they would a colonel that's retiring, aside from the saddle part, I think that is so cool. And that just shows a lot of respect for the animal and for the 20 years that these guys gave to the Air Force. So good for them. I love that story. I'm really excited about it. That's cool.
And I'll post a link to that so people can see the pictures on Facebook a little bit later as well.
Awesome. That'd be great. That's such a sweet story and the pictures and everything. All right. Well, listen, we got to tell you about our ad before we get to our first guest. I want to just tell you about the sponsor for today's show. It's Back on Track. And Back on Track products are uniquely designed with a dual capacity to help prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries. No matter what type of athlete you care for, it could be an experienced campaigner, young prospect. Well, Back on Track products are essential tools you need to be using and maximize your athletic performance and minimize injury and discomfort. So new to the Back on Track lineup are their therapeutic exercise boots. They have fronts and hinds. They offer excellent fit and superior protection as they easily form a smooth close fit with the horse's leg. The outer material is this durable neoprene, and the inner is lined with cotton and polyester. And then, of course, it has Back on Track. It's crazy and it sounds weird, but there's so ceramic-infused fiber, and that's what the Back on Track products are all about, getting that in there, and then that increases blood flow, it prevents injuries, it's really cool. So find Back on Track therapeutic exercise boots at your local retailer or online. You can go to their website at backontrackproducts.com. And Glenn, we're going to have our...
Yeah, I think our first guest is ready for you, Jamie.
Oh, good. Good. And we're going to welcome Lori. And Lori, this is Lori Walker, and she has the Jump for Joy Equestrian Program. And it's like, it's called the Equine Adventure Camp. And basically, what after reading about it, I want to go. I don't care if it's for kids. I want to go to this show. I want to go to camp. I mean, how many memories do you guys have, if you did it, going to horse camp when you were younger, and how that completely shapes your life? Jennifer, did you go to horse camp when you were young?
I went to a couple of years of horse camp, and yes, it was extremely fun. You get to, you know, because ours was an overnight thing. You get to camp in the tent and stay up half the night and, you know, do all the weird camp things. You go swimming in with your horse and fall off, and then you get to take care of the horses that live at the farm. And it was a pretty big deal. Yeah, we felt very special.
Yeah, it's one of those memories where, you know, I mean, it's just, it wouldn't be a childhood without it. And that's what Lori Walker is providing, and she's with the Jump for Joy Equestrian Program. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you doing?
We're doing great. I want to talk to you about your camp because you have a camp about horses, but it also is kind of an educational and therapeutic camp as well. So tell us a little bit about your Equine Adventure Camp.
Okay, well, it is a camp that is designed for elementary, middle, and high school age students, but each group or age group or skill level is divided into their age group and skill level. We have five stations, which include a station that is sort of biology. We have a biology teacher who is teaching parts of the horse, you know, some anatomy of the horse, health care of the horse, and things like that. We have a science teacher who happens to be my husband, who is a chemistry teacher and physics teacher. That sounds kind of like he'd be more geared to the older kids, but he is a wonderful teacher for younger kids as well, and he's going to be like the mad scientist who tells the kids all about weird things like what happens to horse manure after it comes out of the horse and things like that. And I'm not going to give it away, but there's some really fun stuff you can do with horse manure, believe it or not.
Okay.
Hey, Mythbusters did an entire segment on polishing poop, so I'm all for it.
Well, there's all sorts of funny things that can be done with it, but, you know, I'm not going to give those things away because that'll just have to be kind of an exciting thing that happens at camp. But we also have a music teacher who is she is married to our art teacher, who both were characters at Disney in Florida. So they are exceptionally qualified to be very exciting and creative people with our kids. And, of course, we're going to gear everything around horses. So, you know, kids might learn how to paint on canvas a, you know, scene with horses, or learn to make horse hair bracelets or something interesting like that. And then they'll learn some fun little songs, some of the ones that probably you all knew, like the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. And it'll all tie in together with all the other aspects of camp. And as I said, there, each section is led by a teacher, except for the riding section, which is led by me. And I have a lifetime of experience. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I also have a degree in therapeutic recreation and have been doing camps for ages and ages, so I've kind of learned how to do them with my eyes closed and know what kids like and what parents like. And I heard you say that you would love to come to camp. We'd love to have you come on, and you can be a guest at our camp. We have many, many adults who have said, oh, please let me come. I'll help. I had a woman say, I'm a nurse. I'll be the nurse at camp just so I can be there and experience things. Another person wanted to photograph the camp. So I said, you know, the more the merrier. We welcome guests. So everybody's welcome.
That's sweet. Where are you guys? Where, first of all, I think this is a day camp, and where are you guys located?
We're located at 8471 Mooresville Road in Concord, which is David Miesmer Stables. It's a really beautiful property that is just right smack between Mooresville, Davidson area and the Kannapolis Concord area. And it is a day camp, as you mentioned. It only runs Monday through Friday, June the 13th through June the 17th. And it is offered from 8:30 in the morning till 2 p.m. However, we do offer before and after care if we have families that require that.
So you're in North Carolina.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we missed that part.
I'm sorry. Concord, North Carolina.
So that's interesting what you mentioned about you've learned over the years by listening to the feedback and watching how the camps go, what parents are looking for in a camp for kids, for their kids. Talk a little bit about how you took the feedback and what you learned about parents were looking for camp to create the adventure camp, because I think that might have been a pretty significant ingredient in creating the camp the way you did.
Yes, exactly. And the kids' feedback. Kids of all ages like to have many different activities during the day at camp. And when it's hot and, you're doing outside activities, kids need to have a lot of change throughout the day to keep them interested and not let them get bored with camp. We want them to go home excited and say, oh, guess what we did today in camp. And most of our campers do that. In fact, and this is a new camp designed on the way in which I've done camp in the past, but this particular camp is going to allow more campers to attend because we have teachers who are teaching, who are used to teaching large groups of children. This way we can have more kids in a group and offer more activities throughout the day that are directed by teachers who know how to keep things running during the day so kids don't get bored. We don't want them to go home bored. But we offer activities that parents have said their kids loved and enjoyed, such as kayaking on the pond. We incorporate the kayaking with a trail ride to the pond, bareback. Kids love to ride bareback. We hear every camp. The kids say we love to ride bareback. It helps the kids to learn to move with the motion of the horse and sort of relax and bond with the horse. But it's also just really fun. We ride bareback in bathing suits, which is kind of fun. And then we go kayaking on the pond and let the kids trot around in the open field by the pond, which is fun. But also the feedback from the parents is the children don't want to go round and round. You know, we all have round pens. We all have arenas. They don't want to go round and round. They don't want to just hear that same information that we give them, you know, when they're riding in the saddle, you know, heels down, sit up straight, hands down, things like that. They want to have more adventure and excitement. And so we give them the riding instruction, and we give them the information, and we slip in the learning so they don't even know they're learning. And so they go home and learn all this great stuff. And then they come back excited to come back the next day. And most of our campers in my past camps have asked to come back to other camps, and I have a lot of repeat campers. This camp is really designed for kids who probably have not a lot of experience with horses and will give them some very good basics. Excuse me. Our other camps that I offer are for the really diehard kids that want to have two lessons a day, who don't mind going round and round, you know, and taking two lessons. They still get to do those other activities that we offer, like the art and the crafts and things like that. That's sort of their downtime to relax and cool off, but it's more intense riding. So this camp is more adventure and excitement.
So what I'm getting from this is, Lori, you're really using the doggy daycare model. Bring them in, keep them really busy with lots of different things all day long so that they go home exhausted and sleep well, therefore happy parents. And then the next morning, they can't wait to come back.
Exactly, except that it's so much better than daycare because they get to ride horses. and they do get to do lots of other fun stuff, like, you know, when we teach them about parts of the horse and, you know, the care of the horse and things like that, we make it fun and exciting. For instance, we'll have them paint the pony to learn parts of the horse. And we do little sort of almost like a relay game with stickers for parts of the horse and parts of the tack. We have them identify where they think certain inside parts might be, you know, so they can stick a sticker on the horse if they believe they think the inside parts of the horse are, you know, if the stomach is here or the heart is here or, you know, things like that. And then, of course, we talk about it, but it's sort of done in the game. And so they feel like it's just all fun and games, but yet they're learning interesting things. And they take home so much, the parents are shocked what they know. And at the end of the camp, we do a cute little horse show, and they get to show off their T-shirts that they make and their crafts that they make and sing songs that they learned. And they do a little horse show and show what they learned. And the parents' chins drop, like, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. My kid learned that. So it's really a fun and exciting time.
Well, Laurie, I love the fact that you took this to the next step and really tried to make it fun all around, because I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in doing pony camp and doing pony stuff and forgetting the other stuff. So I love the fact that you did that. Where can people find out more about this?
Well, I have a website. It's Jump for Joy Equestrian Program. They can Google that, but they really have to Google Concord, North Carolina. Jump for Joy Equestrian Program in Concord, North Carolina. And they can also go to a website called newhorse.com, which has a link to my website. And if I can give my phone number over the air, I'm fine with that. They can call me on my phone number, and I can email them information and send out brochures and things like that. Is that all right?
Yep, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. My phone number is 704-490-2023. And, again, it's Jump for Joy Equestrian Program in Concord, North Carolina. If you Google that, it should come up. The newhorse.com website, which is a fabulous website for anybody who doesn't know about it. Absolutely go explore it if you're a horse person. It's a wonderful avenue for horse people to find stuff that they are looking for, like camps and horses for sale and things like that. But also people find my riding programs and camps always on there, and I'm constantly getting, you know, emails from that. So newhorse.com does have a link to my website on their site. Also, it will be the equestrian camps that I offered along with the equine adventure camp and my residential camp will also be listed in the Mooresville Tribune. I believe today is the first day it comes out, so this is fortuitous that we have this conversation today. So I think they can go to the pet section of the Mooresville Tribune today and find the advertisement there so they can get more information that way.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank
sure
you very much, Lori. Hey, I have something to play us out. I think this is more than appropriate. I hope you enjoy. Thank you, Lori. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me. Bye.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Ain't what she used to be.
Used to be.
Ain't what she used to be.
Used to be.
The old gray mare, she ain't what she
ain't
used,
what
to,
she
be.
Used to be.
Many long years ago.
There you go.
Oh, took me right back to camp.
I thought that had to be on YouTube. There's about 5,000 versions of the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. I'm kind of starting to feel like the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. I got to tell you, the older you get, the more you feel like that song. I didn't know what it meant before.
I was kind of thinking you were like the old gray mare. When I heard that song, I was like, that's Glenn. That is
exactly
Glenn.
That's right. The old gray mare, got my gray beard. Hey, our song today is sponsored by FeedXL. FeedXL is the place you go to find out if you are feeding your horse correctly. We're never quite sure if we're giving our horse everything the horse needs, from vitamins to supplements to grain to hay to grass. What you do is you go to feedxl.com, you plug in all that information, and it will spit out a report that will tell you whether you're feeding your horse correctly or not. It's put together by some doctors of nutrition down in Australia, and it's a wonderful site. They have detailed reports. And, you know, FeedXL could actually save you a little bit of money if you're feeding too much of this or too much of that. You can cut back in some areas, and maybe there's some areas that you're not feeding enough. So you can find out whether you're doing it correctly at FeedXL.com. Well, as I promised Tammy earlier in the show, we're going to play a little bit of Monty Hawkeye Henson. It's a short little song called Mind Your Own Business. And he was on the Western Radio Show, episode number 43. This guy is about, must be in his 70s, but he has 3 world titles as a saddle bronc rider. He's also been inducted to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. When he retired is when he started doing music, so there's still hope there, Jamie. Still hope. And this song is called Mind Your Own Business.
There's a woman on my party line that knows the old thing. She picks up the receiver when she knows it's my ring. Mind your own business, honey, mind your own business. If you mind your own business, you won't be minding mine. Now, my pretty gal, she wears her hair up high. Boys all with her when she walks by. Mind your own business, honey, mind your own business. If you mind your own business, you won't be minding
saddle bronc champion, and all I could think of is, like, I'm kind of a, I mean, I do love me some Willie and Waylon, but I'm kind of a new country kind of girl, and all I could think of when I was listening to that is my daddy back there just, you know, taking spoons to his knee.
Your daddy loved that song.
My daddy's loving that song. He's like, who's that? Where can I find him? Do they have his records at the record store? So, yeah, that's my dad right now. He's like, that's good. Anyway, this is the Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Back on Track Products. You can check them out at backontrackproducts.com. I'm Jamie Jennings with Glenn the Geek. And as promised, Glenn, when we had our little pre-show meeting, I was a little bit, I hadn't had coffee, and I hadn't had much sleep either. And I think this is all part of it when you live in an equestrian community, and you all kind of help each other out. But my poor husband, bless his heart, because he comes home last night. He's flying nights. So I haven't even seen him this morning nor spoken to him because he gets in at like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, which I am way asleep. But I can only imagine his surprise when he walked into the bathroom and saw in the sink some bloody jeans and a bloody shirt soaking in the water. It was too late for me to stick it in the washing machine, so I stuck it in the bathroom sink, and not thinking that he probably was like, oh my God, what is what happened to my wife?
Great.
Yeah, and it was just one of those nights, and I'm going to have some pictures later because there was photographic evidence of what I was doing. One of our neighbors, her parents live next door to her. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version, and they have mini horses. And they used to be in the breeding business, but they're like in their 70s, probably close to 80, and they don't breed them anymore. Well, apparently one of the little ladies must have backed up to the fence because the big fat mini finally got skinny last night and had a baby.
Really? So,
yes, they did not know she was pregnant. So they walk out to the barn and she's like laying down on the ground pushing out a baby. So they called me and my girlfriend because I'm the like vet tech and she's really – anyway, we all have the stuff to go and help
take care. You got to help deliver a mini baby?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It was so cute. So the problem was that it wouldn't nurse. It just – the mama really actually was having a really hard time. And so the blood on my pants was trying to hold the baby up against the mom. So the baby, of course, you know, is covered in goo and blood. And it's total birth control seeing something like that happen, by the way, because, my God, that – looks horrible. Horrible. This sucks. So basically, I had to milk the colostrum from the mama mini. And if you've milked a mare before, which I'm sure some of you have, this is a horse show. People do stuff like that.
I have even done that.
Really? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. You milk a mare, you gotta get down, you gotta get up underneath it, and you pull the colostrum out, and then you put it in the syringe. Yeah, we do this whole business. However, when you're milking a mini, you gotta get like way down. That sucker is low. So, yeah, there's photographic evidence of me underneath a mini. The poor girl taking the picture, she took it of her own accord because she thought it was hilarious. I'm like down underneath milking this mini. So I'm like laying on the stall ground with, you know, placenta on top of me. Milk in this mini.
Oh,
we finally did get the colostrum, and the mare's having some problems, so hopefully she's gonna make it through. They're getting the vet out today. Obviously, you know, this is the kind of financial times when you didn't plan for a baby, and then you have a baby, and you're like, what do I do with this baby? And you're, you know, 75, 80 years old on a budget. So anyway, we wish them the best, and at least that baby got its colostrum, because by God, I was underneath that sucker milking this for all I was worth.
how small was a mini baby? They got to be pretty small.
Oh, my God. It was like the size of a football.
Had you ever delivered a mini baby before? Is this your virgin run of mini baby delivery?
That was my virgin run of mini baby delivery, although I did get to hold a dwarf mini. If you look at my Facebook page from where I used to work, we had a dwarf mini come in, which is like the size of a, you know, baseball. And those things are tiny. So that was really cute. But this was my first experience kind of like getting dirty and bloody and gross. And my, like I said, my husband still doesn't understand probably because we didn't talk last night and I'm up before him why there's a bloody mass of clothing in the sink. It's not mine. It's not mine.
I think this is a Jennifer, I think, was getting our guests on the phone. She is going to have to go back and listen to that story, to the listen to the recorded version of the show, because you're going to want to hear that story, Jennifer. Well, I tell you what, you know, when we talked about hiring you, you told us, and you did not lie, you said, my life is a story. Every day there's a new story. I will have things to talk about on the air. And you were not kidding. Let me tell you, you weren't kidding. And it's more than just harmonicas.
I mean, my whole life used to be all about being the single chick, and I was on a top 40 radio show. Well, now I'm living on a farm, and thank God I work on a show that I can talk about it with, because I would be very boring on a top 40 show. If I was on the public radio right now, you got in your car and you turned on your favorite radio station, I guarantee you there is not one person in there talking about milk and a baby mini being covered in placenta. That's just not... It's not normal. That is not what happens in regular radio.
I think that's the perfect transition into our weekly segment, thanks to thehorse.com and Christy, who every week tries to gross me out. And this week, I think that Jamie's already accomplished it, so there's really nothing you can do, Christy.
Are you sure?
Don't catch her.
Actually, I am looking very forward to today's segment, because we got to talk in person over the weekend, and you were telling me about it, and I'm so excited to learn about Equatarian missions and what they're all about. So tell us about this. I'm very excited about this.
Well, thanks for having us on today, Glenn, to talk about this, because I'm here with Dr. Jay Merriam, who many in the veterinary world know very well for his Equatarian efforts, and he's with the Massachusetts Equine Clinic, and he's on the line with us. And Dr. Merriam, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice? So what exactly is an Equatarian?
What exactly is an Equatarian? Good morning to all of you. Glad to be here. And my pleasure. As I told you last night, Christy, I'm more than happy to talk about Equatarians until the cows come home or the horses come home. Equatarian is a word that, quite honestly, my wife and I made up, but it, I think, denotes exactly what it says. It's a person who, instead of going around the world helping humans, goes around the world helping horses who need help. And so it's a humanitarian for horses, and there's an awful lot of us in the veterinary profession who are really involved in this, and we're having a lot of fun.
So we
provide services to animals, usually what we call working equids, which means working horses, donkeys, or mules, who help their owners survive. And so we provide medical care to animals, and we're trying to extend our reach to all parts of the world, and it's going very well.
Very good. And what are some of those places that you go to, and what kind of things do you do, just to give people an idea?
Well, we have been, through my practice and my project here, Project Samana, we have been going to a small rural community in the Dominican Republic for, this is our 19th year, working on the working horses and donkeys and mules in that area and helping people to use them better, to learn how to raise them better, learn how to care for them better. I've personally been to Haiti looking at the same thing, working horses. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Arizona looking at working horses on Indian reservations. I mean, there are working horses all over the world that bring us an awful lot of our daily food. If you had a piece of coconut shrimp yesterday, for instance, the coconut probably started its journey on the back of a donkey somewhere in the developing world. So we've been all over the place. And I have Equatarians who have been to Mongolia, have huge projects in Mongolia and India, China. I mean, it's an amazing field.
Now, what are some of the health problems that you tend to see on these trips? What kind of work
well,
are you doing?
Well, mostly there are problems that are compounded by lack of education and lack of current knowledge. People use customary things. Nutrition is probably real high on the list. People rarely can afford to feed their families well. They hardly ever go buy food for their horses. Parasites, both internal and external, can be a huge problem, especially in the tropics. We see horses with literally 10 or 12,000 ticks on them at some time.
Ugh.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing. And
one horse with 10 or 12,000 ticks?
Oh, I haven't counted them all, Glenn, but I think so. I mean, there's no way you could begin to count how many are on some of these animals.
Ticks,
with hundreds and hundreds. Pardon me?
I had Lyme disease really, really bad and still fight that, and so ticks are not my favorite thing in the world.
No, and they're a big problem in almost all parts of the world for working horses and donkeys. And the problem is that a lot of owners don't recognize that. Simply picking the ticks off would help their horses gain weight, and they don't understand that. So these are the sorts of things we see. Foot problems are epidemic. I mean, they need a lot of work with their feet and shoeing and trimming. And we've taken farriers to some of these places, and there are farriers doing sort of what we're doing, going to places and teaching horseshoeing. So there's an awful lot of work to be done.
For sure. And what do you think has been your most memorable equestrian trip?
Well, you know, just by sheer virtue of going there so many times, we have so many memories and interesting things happening in the Dominican Republic. I'm a surgeon by training, and I've done some of the best surgery I've ever done in my career, not on expensive show horses, but on donkey packing mules in Samaná. We did the largest scrotal hernia I've ever repaired. Was in a city park with probably 100 locals watching us do it, motorcycles buzzing by, people coming and calling their friends to say, wow, look what these crazy gringos are doing.
Sounds sterile.
it was not even anywhere close to sterile, yet it had a fabulous outcome. You can make do in the third world or the developing world if you mind your P's and Q's.
And that makes me think a little bit about the case that we're working on right now. We're doing something a little bit unusual where one of our website readers, who's actually in Fiji, emailed us about a week ago and sent us a whole bunch of pictures of this horse with a really awful wound on one of her hind legs and said, you know, is there anything? It wasn't even her horse. It was a horse that lives near her. And she said, is there anything we can do for this horse? You know, I think the owner's going to put it down. And normally in these kind of cases, of course, we say, go talk to your vet. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go talk to your vet. Problem with her is there are no vets. And so she's contacting us trying to just get some information to help this horse. And Dr. Merriam has been able to give her a lot of information as far as making do with what she has there available. And talk to us a little bit about the information that you were able to get this person, where it's coming from, and how quickly we were able to get it. It's really kind of
impressive. This is what really amazes me. Even over the last 5 years, there's a difference. I see people in my little project in the Dominican Republic will take a picture on their cell phone. They're riding their horse through the jungle. They'll take a picture on their cell phone, email it to me, and say, can you help this? And so electronics have helped us a lot. That particular horse, the pictures were just horrific. I emailed them to several of my colleagues who are working on this project. One is in England. He's an internationally known clinician at the university there. He gave us some good advice. Another one is in Mexico, who also talked about some of the tropical wound care things that he sees, and we got advice. So we are able to connect people in some cases with people that they would never have any way of getting knowledge from. So that's what's great about the email system that we have now, and I think we'll continue to improve. And so accessibility is becoming worldwide, and so is information, and that's really what is going to help these animals.
And I think you mentioned education also being a huge part of it, because this person said, you know, when she came up to this horse, it was just had a rope tied around its neck, and this is going to be her horse now, by the way. It sounds like she's taking it over from the owner, and with the owner's permission, obviously. And, you know, they managed to find some halters or in a store, or, you know, somebody who had one in a closet. I really have no idea where they came from. They said, just in terms of back to the educational part, you know, these horses just have ropes tied around their necks. And apparently this is not, and I'm reading into the email a little bit, but it sounds like this is not a totally uncommon injury there, because, you know, in order to keep the horses contained, they just hobble them with some nylon rope. And
right.
They have never seen halters before. you know, she said she put a halter on this horse, and people are literally stopping in their tracks when they walked by because they'd never seen one before. So,
well,
you know, I think it just points out to what we're used to here versus what's the reality in many places of the world.
Oh, we learn every year when I go there, I learn something new, and we have some wonderful horsemen down there, horsemen and horsewomen, people who make their living working with horses, but honestly, a halter is way beyond most of them. They make all of their own equipment with ropes and things. Sometimes they fit, sometimes they don't, and that is another huge problem is equipment fit, saddle sores, all this sort of stuff. And so we take people into these areas who can train them in rebuilding saddles, making new saddles. Education is the key, and so yes, we provide immediate service to certain animals, but in general, we're also trying to provide education.
What's the funniest thing that you've seen on one of your trips that you went, either you were in total disbelief and had to chuckle, or just was one of the funniest things that you've come across?
Well, we see, Glenn, we see these animals carrying loads that you can't imagine. The winner for me is a guy riding a medium-sized donkey with a friend of his. So there's two of them on a donkey. They are carrying a propane cylinder and a goat. And where they were all going together, I have no idea.
We can only imagine what was happening there.
But it was just an amazing, amazing sight. But yet, you know,
my guess is there was barbecue in the plans and the goat's no longer with us. That's my guess.
I think you may be onto something.
The grill was being carried on the next donkey back. It was
right.
It's entirely possible. Well, Dr. Merriam, if people want to get involved and help out with your projects, how can they do that? Can they contact you? Yeah, website?
The website for the project, I think I've given you. Do you want me to give that to you now? Or
please.
So
everybody else can get it, too.
Called web.me.com/JG Merriam, M-E-R-R-I-A-M. And that will give you a website which devotes itself to our project and to the Equitarian initiative. We are also in the process of setting up an Equitarian website, which will be, I hope, done in the next month or so, which will be a direct link to this sort of project and will, in fact, allow people to see what we're doing and help out where they can.
For sure. I think I should go with you on one of these trips, by the way.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would be exciting. We have a lot of fun. We're getting our group ready for the June trip now. We've got a really good group of people going, one of whom is a farrier. We have a veterinarian who is also a farrier. We have a couple of other general practitioners. It's going to be quite a trip.
And where are you going?
Jamie's been itching to do the morning show, you know, to take it on the road. I think we could send her down to the Dominican Republic and do it live from there.
There we go.
Yeah.
Well, it would be an amazing time, and it would open your eyes to the importance of working horses and donkeys and mules throughout the developing world. They're really, really critical to quality of life and to helping people survive.
What you're doing is awesome, and it is great work. And, you know, I'm glad there's somebody out there like you who is helping in this, because I know on the few out-of-the-country vacations that I've been on the vacation aspect of it is great. It's the rest of it, when you look at the living conditions and the animals and just the difference, like, in respect that the animals are treated. And then, you know, then you've got the guys that love their working animals that really, I mean, they work those animals for a living. That is what they do. And I'm glad that you're out there making light of this and making it known and helping out.
Well, thank you. We enjoy it, and it's a necessary thing. Our little four-footed friends or our big four-footed friends need all the help they can get.
No kidding. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for having us on today. I really appreciate it. It was it's great to talk about this. I've heard Dr. Merriam speak about this a number of times at different veterinary conventions, and I wanted to make sure that everybody knew a little bit about what they were doing and why, and some of the work that they're doing is really amazing. And if you ever are in an area where they're doing a presentation on this, you should definitely check it out, because there are some really impressive photos and stories and everything that go along with all this.
Well, thank you, Christy. We appreciate you bringing it to us. Thank you, Dr. J. We appreciate it also.
My pleasure.
We're going to post a link to that website that you gave us. We'll post that in our show notes for today's show, so if anybody wants to visit that site, they don't have to remember it. We'll post it there. And good luck in all of your work here coming up. It's ironic that in the beginning of the show today, we posted five different ways that people could help the animals of Japan. And here you are, and in every day, it didn't take a disaster. You're just going out to help the animals around the world as an everyday thing. So we appreciate your efforts there.
Okay, Glenn. My pleasure entirely. And thank you all for
the
interview. You bet. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right. Bye, guys. See you next
week,
Christy. Well, that is a great effort that he's doing. And you notice I threw you under the bus and sent you off to the Dominican Republic to help out with that.
How would you not want to go? What part of you would not want to go to the Dominican Republic and do animals help?
I know. I think it's great. And I think with your harmonica skills, you could entertain them as well, which is the other thing
up.
I was thinking about.
Enough about the harmonica. Good Lord, I should have never had her post. I should have deleted that picture the moment she posted it. I really do think I'm going to have to go out and buy one of these suckers, and they're not cheap. So I might have to bill that to the Horse Radio Network and have to go buy a new $35 harmonica to play on the show. I think that's a work-related expense.
Well, Rick Conley said about your celebrity double, Amanda Peet. He said, Amanda must be the taller sister. She's 5'7". I did think of that when I saw her, because she is a little bit taller than you. And then Jackie, this was very funny, posted from regarding horses. My favorite part of being on Horses in the Morning for the whole show last Friday, at the very end, Jamie said, "Say goodbye, Jackie." And I said, "Goodbye, Jackie. My favorite is when Glenn is ornery and does that. So I totally dug the chance to do it myself." That was pretty. Thank you.
You were honoring that whole show.
I know. It's my job. It's what I do. Hey, a couple more news stories before we call it a day. One is that Kate Hudson and Matt Bellamy are getting ready for the birth of their baby. There's a little celebrities who are on the celebrity bent today. And now apparently they're looking at buying a $15 million Malibu estate with an equestrian estate out there. It has 5 bedrooms, should be able to house the little Bambino. 9 baths. Okay, how do you get 9 baths with 5 bedrooms? Isn't that usually go together? They're about the same. So I can't quite figure that one out.
You got to take into account, Glenn, the private theater, I'm sure, that's in there. And then they've probably got a bar or a pub inside the house. So that needs its own his and hers. So, 9 bathrooms is, like, totally necessary, okay?
So that's one of the stories. Hey, we had an update, didn't we, on the 90-year-old that John Shear from the racetrack that got hurt throwing himself in front of a horse to save a kid. I think we had an update on that.
Yeah, John Shear is the guy. We talked about it yesterday. He was hit by a loose horse at Santa Anita while he was heroically protecting a small girl. He jumped in front of her. She's like 6 years old. And he took the brunt of the horse that was loose, was going to mow her down. And so he got mowed down. Thing is, he's 90 years old. His son, Mike, was interviewed and said that his dad did have multiple fractures, including the pelvis. He lost a significant amount of blood. There was internal bleeding, but he is not going to have to undergo surgery at this time, which is great news, obviously, because that would lay him up for quite some time being 90. And also, he has been up and has been not up, but talking and joking around and laughing, completely coherent, and he's in stable condition now where he was in intensive care. So we wish him the best. And I think we need to get Mike on the air with us to talk about his dad. I mean, this guy is a former jockey that has worked at Santa Anita Racetrack for 50 years. 50 years.
I know.
That's
isn't that
awesome.
Amazing?
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Well, hopefully, maybe Jennifer can see if she can locate Mike and we can get him on the air to talk about his dad, because he's certainly a hero in everybody's eyes. He certainly is.
Yeah.
And two more stories for you. Horses go on the loose. Guess where?
England.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Where else do they get loose every darn day? A pair
Everywhere.
Of bloody horses this time is causing mayhem in Sandhurst, England, by escaping from their field and blocking the road. The horses caused a major traffic jam over the weekend in Yorktown Road near the section known locally as Merry Christmas Bridge. I love that part of the story, by the way. Merry Christmas Bridge. Police were called to deal with the animals, a black Shetland pony and a white horse, on three occasions. Not just one, not just two, three occasions. The first calls came in around 12:30 on Saturday morning, and it took the officers an hour to get the horses back in their field. And then they were called again at 10:30 on Saturday and Sunday night to deal with the same two. Now, you think after your little pair of ponies gets out one time, you would maybe fix the darn fence. But no, they get out a second time, and then he still doesn't fix the fence, and they get out a third time. Okay, put the suckers in the stall until you fix the fence is what I'm saying here. Just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's usually when animal control would get involved.
Or the police would fine you or something. I mean,
I know.
Well, while we're in England, you're familiar with Mary King, the inventor?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She has decided that while she was at the World Equestrian Games here in Kentucky last year, she was really impressed with watching endurance, the endurance riders. So this year she's going to give it a try herself, and she's going to take part in this year's Golden Horseshoe Ride in Exmoor, England. And the popular event rider will ride the first quarter of a two-day 100-mile class, which means I guess she's going to ride 25 miles. She's going to be accompanied by an experienced competitor and riding a borrowed endurance horse. So Mary King's going to give endurance a try, it looks like, and she's very excited to give it a shot. I think that sounds like fun. I know Jennifer is dying to try endurance, although I don't know if our fat beaker will accomplish that much. He's going to have to stay a little slimmer than he is now to ride
endurance. We need to find the baby beginner green super duper chubby novice class.
Beaker has enough trouble from what I remember seeing him last year. Beaker has enough trouble getting around the barn aisle. So an endurance race would be quite the challenge for your tubby little quarter horse, bless her heart.
To win.
That's what they tell losers, Jennifer.
So I think that was pretty much all the news stories I had. We have a lot of cool things going on here at the Horse Radio Network this week. Chris has some fun shows coming up. Helene and I we have a Tack and Habit show coming out today that we think you're going to like. And that's on a product that I hadn't heard much about, so you're going to want to tune in to that. And if you know, one of the problems that we all have, when we're trying on new boots is that we get sores. You know how it is when you wear new boots, even paddock boots. They're just horrible sometimes. Well, we have a product that you use. It's awful. We have a product that you can use when you're trying on new tall boots or paddock boots that will solve that problem so you don't get the sores that you did before, and that'll be on Tack and Habit a little bit later in the day. And we do have a caller on the line here.
It's
the other half of the duo, Jamie.
This guy is our stalker, Glenn. I mean, good Lord. He calls all the time. He posts on my Facebook page. I really think Alan Moorhead from the Western Radio Show is stalking me. Is that true, Alan? Should you just own up to it?
I just want you to play the harmonica for me. I mean, you know.
See?
Golly. Poor old Hawkeye. You bash Hawkeye for being a little old-fashioned in his music, and then you won't play the harmonica? Oh, my God. That's campfire stuff right there now. You fit right in here. Hey, and don't worry, Glenn. I'll send you some more Hawkeye music other than Mind Your Own Business. And I love that song, too. That's what I tell Tammy all the time. But anyway. Hey, I was just calling. You know, I heard you talking about the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo yesterday and that the student art sale deal, $205,000 for a picture.
Were you listening to the beginning of today's show when Tammy called and we talked about your show today?
Oh,
did
no,
you
I
miss
wasn't.
That?
I
well, you
it.
Obviously aren't stalking us enough because your cohort there called in and we talked all about the Houston sale and how much they give to scholarships and things. It, you know, the number that blew me away, and I said this earlier in the show, was $90 million in revenue. We on the English side are doing something way wrong there, Alan, way wrong.
I've been trying to tell Jamie that for a long, long time. I mean, you know.
I got to make
come
money.
Away from the dark side, Luke. I mean, geez.
Yeah, whatever. Your co-host is currently sporting a dressage saddle. That's a dressage saddle, if you say it correctly. And
yeah.
She is actually has the same exact kind of dressage saddle that I have. So you're sending her to the dark side, okay? You are sending her to the dressage world.
No, you have to look and see what I wrote under that picture. I mean, even her horse, was when she was trying to take a picture of it, he kept putting his head in the way. He didn't want anybody to see that on his back. I mean, it's no, but well, you know, I've always said that dressage is. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's cool for two or three.
Yeah, well,
for
all horse husbands would probably agree with that. Most for two or three of them, at a, I'm kind of with you there, Alan. In many ways.
Well, I
send all the letters
hear,
to Glenn at horseradionetwork.com.
Yeah. I didn't hear Tammy call in, and I apologize for being redundant, but it's an awesome show, I mean, for the inside workings. And I mean, and even their cattle sale from the stock show. Last year, I think the steer, which was Grand Champion steer, last year, 2010, sold for $175,000. This year, they broke the record. Yeah. Well, this year it doubled. It was $350,000 almost if that one sold for the kids, and which the kids get part of it, and part of it goes to scholarships. And Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo for that area is responsible for 561. Last year was $15,000 scholarships. And Dick told us, Dick Hudgens was on there, and he's a lifetime vice president of the Livestock Show and Rodeo, and they decided to up the ante for 2011 on those scholarships, and they went from $15,000 to $16,000. He said, well, one of the committee members says, well, God, that's not a lot, but $1,000 added to that by 561, that's over $500,000 more. I mean, you know, it's cool.
Wow.
I'll let it go at this, Alan, because we have to get out of here. The other thing they had was they do a barbecue thing there, and 3 days of barbecue competition, which drew 250,000 people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what, Alan? I don't care what you say to Tammy about Texas. They do things bigger in Texas.
Oh, yes,
we'll
they
talk
do.
To you later, yeah. Alan.
All right,
thanks
you
for
bet.
Calling.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Now, I got to tell you, I hope Alan keeps listening, because this is what I'm learning from talking to Alan and listening to that whole little segment, is that the next time I see some cowboy in Texas walking down the road, you know, dirty Wranglers, holes in his boots, that guy's got money. If they're spending $300,000 on a cow, on a freaking cow, then those guys are the best. They got money under their mattress. And let's just, ladies, I want you to know that these cowboys in Texas must be all loaded if they can spend $300,000 on a cow. So go get you one. That's my advice for
today.
Well,
we'll be back.
Get you one.
We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow we have a very special show planned. It's all about spring and summer fashion. What's new? We have a bunch of guests on, and then we're going to take a look at, you remember last week we had that show that collapsed and our internet went off and the show went away. Well, we were supposed to take a look at our real estate property of the month that's just out of this world. Well, we're going to have the real estate agent on tomorrow to talk about that, too. So it's all about people fashion and house fashion tomorrow on the show. You're going to want to tune in. And then on Friday, something real exciting here. We're going to talk about horse logging. Actually, you know, talk about working horses. These are horses that do logging, so that's going to be kind of fun, too. We'll be back again tomorrow. You can catch all of our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com and all the rest of the shows at the Horse Radio Network.
Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Glenn. See, that's for you, Jackie.